Join with me in prayer before we begin. Heavenly Father, this is your word, and though these words and this story come from ancient times, we pray that you would warm our hearts by what we read and hear this morning, that you would turn us all the more to faith in you and being part of your family as followers of the Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Dick Rowe is hardly a household name. You've probably never heard of him, but he could have been a household name. Dick was an executive at Decca Records in London in 1962. His job was to scout for new talent. If Dick Rowe is famous for anything at all, it's this. When he auditioned the new Liverpool band called the Beatles, he wasn't impressed. He said, "We don't like their sound, and guitar music is on the way out." Decca Records didn't sign them. Bad call. Mind you, you may well think he was right. I prefer bagpipes to guitar music any day, no doubt. But bear with me for another story about guitar music anyway, with similar regrets. I'm a bit of a guitar enthusiast myself, and when I was a young uni student, I met a friendly guy in a guitar shop. I was trying out one of the guitars, playing a tune, and he came over. He recognised the tune, and I said, "Oh, do you play it?" He said he hadn't. Then I passed him the guitar, and he imitated exactly what I'd played note for note, only far better. I said, "Do you give lessons?" He said, "Yeah, here's my card. Come over sometime." Just lived in the next suburb. Now, as it happens, I just never got around to it. The name on the card was Tommy Emmanuel. If you haven't heard of him, ask me later or Google him. I've been kicking myself ever since. I could have had lessons from, I think, one of the greatest guitarists in the world. Bad call. But here is one more to add to that list that leaves the rest for dead. What if you had the chance to be part of the family tree of the greatest king of Israel and be talked about forever? How would you like it if you had the chance to be forefather of the Redeemer of the world? And yet you casually turned it down. Because here in Ruth chapter 4, you see that is exactly what happens. And in the biggest irony of all, the guy does it because he wants to make a name for himself his way. He wants to preserve his family line his way, protect his inheritance so he won't be forgotten. And yet when we meet him here in Ruth chapter 4, we don't even get to hear his name. And he leaves the stage of history never to be heard from again. As I said earlier, for our regulars, we are in the closing chapter of a beautiful story that we've been tracking over these last 3 or 4 weeks. And today's episode opens with this man called Boaz, who we met previously, sitting at the town gate waiting for Mr. Nameless to come along, which he eventually does. Boaz is here to bring everyone up to speed because last week he's promised Ruth that he will be her guardian redeemer, an ancient custom in Israel that gives the option of coming to the rescue of these distant relatives who have lost everything. Widowed Naomi, an old woman, and her widowed daughter-in-law, Ruth. Rescuing them by marrying Ruth and taking on the family debt and continuing the family line of Ruth's dead husband, and so keeping the clan alive. Chapter 3 was something of a love story in the barley fields as Ruth makes a request, and Boaz accepts with one hitch. There is actually a closer relative who has first option. Boaz, we've seen, is full of what's called in the story covenant kindness. Bound by this family obligation, but more than that, a man of real compassion. with the other relative in the wings, who knows? And so here's Boaz waiting at the city gate, and sooner or later, here he comes, the other guardian redeemer with first option to help. Come over and sit down for a chat, says Boaz. We're going to need some witnesses, the town elders who sit at the gate chewing tobacco, talking about old times. Come over, he says. Because though the new man doesn't know it, Boaz is going to make this potential redeemer the best offer he's ever going to hear. Naomi, who's come back from Moab, he says she's selling the paddock that belonged to our relative Elimelech. Verse 4, he says, I thought you should know about it because you are the closest relative. You've got first right of refusal. He says, if you want a redeemer, do so, but if you won't, tell me, because I am next in line. Now, at first, this sounds like a good deal. No strings attached. I mean, expand your holdings. Old Naomi, she won't be much trouble. She's the mother-in-law. Back in chapter 1, she left the promised land with her husband Elimelech. He died in the land of Moab. Their sons died in the land of Moab. Now she's back. So the end of verse 4, he's saying in a rush of enthusiasm, I'll do it. I will redeem it. Which, if you were here when the romantic sparks were flying in the barley field last week, is maybe a little disappointing. Here's the thing. Boaz doesn't mention it till verse 5. One more thing. By the way, it's a package deal. When you buy the land, you have to take the girl as well. Which girl? Well, the Moabite daughter-in-law. It's not just old Naomi. She's brought home Ruth with her as well, a complete outsider. The day you get the land, you get the dead man's widow as well to keep the name of the dead with his property. And Ruth is the one who's going to carry on the family line. At which the nameless guardian redeemer backs off. He says, well, I've got an estate of my own to worry about. I've got my own heritage to take care of. Block of land's one thing, but no way am I going to take on another family just to preserve the clan of Elimelech. Now, these are strange words in our culture, aren't they? I think, in fact, in our culture, it's always about the romance and what follows. It's all about the hormones. Back then, it was about responsibility for a family. And the downside is, you see, when your father is a widow, the child ends up with the land that you paid for. It's a crazy idea. What's in it for the Redeemer? Very little. It is held in trust for the next generation. What you're really buying is the right to a debt. And so verse 6, he says, you redeem it. I can't. And verse 7, he does what they did back then to seal a deal. You hand over a sandal. And verse 8, in front of the witnesses at the gate, he says, buy it yourself, and takes off his shoe. Which, as we're going to see in a moment, goes down in history with all those other bad calls I mentioned at the start. And with H.M. Warner, another one who wouldn't invest in talking movies because he said, who on earth would want to hear actors talk? Bad call. There's no future in hitching up with this Moabite girl. She's not even an Israelite. The figures just don't add up. So off he walks, lopsidedly on one sandal, into the mists of time, so keen to preserve his family name, he disappears without us even knowing his name at all. Never heard from again. The fact is, redeeming Ruth and Naomi, redeeming the clan of Elimelech, makes no business sense at all. And if anyone is going to do it, it's only going to be out of kindness, out of genuine covenant compassion. So, smelly sandal in his hand as proof, Boaz does what he says. He buys the family out of poverty. He pays off their debt. takes Ruth as his bride. You can see his words in verse 9 in the passage. Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I've also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are witnesses. Now, in the long arc of this story, remember, week one, young widow Ruth, a Moabite. She's chosen to take refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. She sought refuge under the wings of Boaz. Now she's his wife. And her mother-in-law Naomi is taken care of as well. And so, of course, there's celebration in the air, the elders and the crowd at the gate shaking his hand and saying, may the Lord make the woman who's coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, back in Genesis chapter 29, the great mothers of the nation of Israel. May Ruth be like that, the start of something big. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. So we're told Boaz takes Ruth to be his wife, and she conceives, and there in Bethlehem gives birth to a son. So at the end of this ancient book, here is Naomi, who came home from a distant land empty, nursing the baby grandson she never thought she'd see. And the other women celebrating a blessing, because as they look at the child, they see a redeemer. They see one who will bring blessing beyond Boaz. They see a future full of blessing. Verse 14, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. And you see, they're talking there about the boy. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. The baby boy they called Obed, which means servant, who we're told in verse 17 becomes the father of Jesse, who becomes the father of great King David, who rules over Israel in peace and prosperity. Who then, I'm sure you know, becomes the ancestor and the pattern for an even better redeemer, even further down the line, whose name is Jesus. Now, as you probably know, there are only two kinds of people in the world. Those who find genealogies incredibly dull, and those who think there's nothing more exciting. Here, surrounded by proud Scottish clans this morning, I think you're the perfect audience for a story like this, because I'm sure you all love a good lineage. You see, the story of Ruth finishes with a genealogy. I wonder if you've noticed, hundreds of years later in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew begins with one, which is far from dull. Because you might not have noticed, but Matthew, you see, picks up on exactly this family line of Ruth and Boaz and traces it through all the way to Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, it's an unusual family unit. It's an unusual birth, just like Ruth and Boaz, baby Obed. But it is a line, you see, with a great heritage of redeemer kings. Redeeming is never cheap. The cost is stepping in to take the debt of someone else to set them free. And you see, what Jesus has done is exactly that for each of us at the cross. In Titus chapter 2, Paul says, our Saviour Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for himself a people of his very own, eager to do what is good. Redeemed us from the consequences of sin. Redeemed us from the fear of judgment. Redeemed us from shame by publicly, in a cosmic display, taking our shame on himself, the embodied God of the universe. Now that is redemption. The book of Ruth was, I think, originally meant to warm the hearts of Israelites who were far away from God in exile in Babylon, painting a picture of hope, calling them home, promising redemption when they turn back. Maybe this book's done the same for you, saying to you that if you come back to the God of Israel, the welcome mat is already out. There is a Redeemer. And the crazy thing is, just to finish, at least for the first Israelites hearing the story, you see, anyone can come. Even a Moabite woman like Ruth, a complete outsider. Anyone can come and find that redemption and a place among the people of God. See, this really is a blessing for all the nations. That's a point the New Testament makes over and over again. This is a blessing for every clan, Scots, Malaysian, Indonesian, American, Indian, even Australian, all welcome in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, says the Apostle Paul in Galatians 3. All welcome, one without distinction, under the Redeemer Jesus. You know, it was crazy in a way for that other relative to say no to being part of God's big plan and walk away. He had better ideas. He was going to do it himself. But friends, how much more crazy if you were to say no to Jesus this morning and miss out on the opportunity of a lifetime, the opportunity for life. That would indeed be a bad call. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you indeed for the redemption we have in Christ Jesus, that offer of forgiveness and a place in your family, free of charge, but at great cost to him. We thank you for that, Father, and pray that you would move in us by your Spirit to think more deeply on these things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.